Hi, I'm Dan Dietrich, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Wayland, Missouri. Our text today is found in Jeremiah chapter 35. There we find one of the most compelling examples of successful child rearing that's recorded in the entire Bible. It seems that in the days of the wicked king Jehoiakim, God commanded Jeremiah to summons the Rechabites to the temple. He was to bring them into the chamber of the man of God, Hanan, the son of Igdaliah, and command them to drink wine. So Jeremiah did exactly what the Lord commanded him to do, and the response of the sons of Rechab was amazing. Listen to their words. "We will drink no wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, Ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any. But all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he hath charged us to do, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in, neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed, but we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us." Now, you need to understand the situation. These men have been summoned by Jeremiah, the prophet of Judah, to the temple, the house of God. Inside the temple, they were taken to the chamber of Hanan, the son of Igdaliah, who was reputed to be a man of God. So get the picture. They've been commanded to drink wine in the temple by the prophet in a sacred place. Surely there would be nothing wrong with that. Surely the prophet of God would not tell them to drink wine in the house of God if there was anything wrong with it. There was real intimidation to drink wine here. But notice the response. The answer was in unison. It appears that they all answered together. The answer was immediate. There was no deliberation, no hesitation. The answer was complete. Notice it appeared to be word for word the command of Jonadab. And notice the answer was final. It was non-negotiable. There was no room for compromise. They showed real determination not to drink the wine. Briefly, you need to understand the reason for this test. The Rechabites had kept a commandment that was 5 to 6 generations old. They had spanned a period of time somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 years or more. In verse 14, God complained to Jeremiah that the words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he had commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. "Notwithstanding, I," spoke Jehovah, "have spoken unto you," that is the nation of Judah, "rising early and speaking," that is by the prophets, "but ye," that is as a nation, "hearkened not unto me." God went on and said, "I have also sent unto you all my servants the prophets, rising up early, sending them, saying, Return ye now every man from his evil way, amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them, and ye shall dwell in the land which I have given you and to your fathers, but ye have not inclined your ear nor hearkened unto me. Because the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father, which he commanded them, but this people hath not hearkened unto me. Therefore thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, Behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them. Because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard, and I have called unto them, but they have not answered." In other words, God used the obedience of the Rechabites as a contrast to the disobedience of his people and as a standard by which to judge them. This is real incrimination of the people of God. You need to see the application here too. The commands of a godly father are shown to bear more weight than the man of God, Jeremiah. They bear more weight than a king. Remember, Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael were more influenced by the upbringing of their godly fathers and mothers than by the commands of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. The commands of a godly father bear more weight than all the prophets preaching the word of God. This is real inspiration. Consider this. The church is about 2,000 years old. Who taught doctrine, religion, prayer, worship, the way of salvation, and theology for the first 4,000 years of history? I'll tell you who it was. It was godly fathers. The temple is about 3,000 years old. Who taught doctrine, religion, prayer, worship, the way of salvation, and theology for the first 3,000 years of human history? It was godly dads and moms. The tabernacle's about 3,500 years old. Who taught doctrine, religion, prayer, worship, the way of salvation, and theology for the first 2,500 years of history? You want to know who it was? It was godly fathers. Think of this. Civil government is about 4,350 years old. Who taught self-government, responsibility, truthfulness, industry, family values, morals, ethics, proper behavior, and the arts of government for the first 1,650 years of human history? You know who it was? It was godly parents. According to Deuteronomy chapter 6, fathers were responsible for the education of their kids in the home. Now let me ask you, wouldn't you like to know Jonadab's secret? How did he accomplish this feat of passing on a command that was obeyed, respected, and taught again to the next generations by his offspring for over 200 years? Unfortunately, that part of the story is not recorded by Jeremiah. However, we do learn from other passages of Scripture how the Jews were taught by Moses to raise children. The Hebrew method of child-rearing was called the Shema, and we'll look at it in detail in a future broadcast. But for now, let's look at some suggestions as to how Jonadab may have accomplished this tremendous example of training his offspring. First of all, parents must speak from a higher authority. Jonadab preached to his offspring the dangers of wine, but he just didn't decide on his own that the use of alcoholic beverage was not a good thing. He had the Proverbs available to him. That is the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1 says, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whoso's deceived thereby is not wise." Proverbs 23 verses 20 through 21 says, "Be not among winebibbers, among the riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall close a man with rags." Proverbs 23, verses 29 through 35 says of alcoholic beverage, "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it's red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They've beat me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again." And then again in Proverbs chapter 31, verses 4 through 9, King Lemuel's mother taught him these words about wine and strong drink. She said, "It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink to him that's ready to perish, and wine to those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more." Then Lemuel's mother continued with her advice to the king, "Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy." Her indication was that wine and strong drink would impair the king's ability not only to enforce the law and to establish justice, but to plead the cases of the oppressed and the poor and the needy. Now understand, If Jonadab forbade the use of alcoholic beverage on the basis of sacred scripture, it would have much more powerful impact on his offspring than if he just decided it wouldn't be a good idea for his sons to use alcoholic beverage. Likewise, we must learn to appeal to our children on the grounds of sacred scripture. We must speak from a higher authority than ourselves if we want the kind of successful impact that Jonadab experienced with his sons. Now, there are several other reasons why Jonadab was successful in child rearing. I think he spoke with a heart full of love. Love is the groundwork and the basis of discipline. I think he used the teaching technique of repetition successfully. We're told that repetition's the key to learning. Obviously, he trained his sons. He didn't just teach them, he trained them. Without a doubt, he set a good example for them to follow. He must have had a good support system to back up his teaching. His wife, the elders, and others must have taught his children the same things that he was teaching them, reinforcing the truth of it. He probably prayed that his sons would have understanding, according to Psalms 119 and verse 34. Understanding is a prerequisite to glad-hearted obedience. And he must have been consistent in his practice and in his example. All these things we'll look at in future broadcasts. But there was one other thing that I think was vital for Jonadab's teaching to be successful. He must have taught his sons the rewards of sobriety and the consequences of drunkenness. Our children need to know that God has a divine reward system and a system of chastisement for defying his word. Jonadab not only taught his sons the commands of Scripture concerning alcoholic beverage, but he laid out for them the rewards and the consequences. We need to teach our children that right is its own reward and that sobriety carries its own rewards in its lifetime. But more than that, God gave eternal rewards to the house of Rechab for its obedience. Listen to verses 18 and 19. And Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because ye have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according to all that he commanded you, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want a man to stand before me forever. Think of it, eternal rewards for doing right. Oh, how we must impress that truth on our children. Well, our time is gone. Join me next week at this same time as we look again at other techniques that Jonadab may have used in the rearing of five generations of offspring scattered over 200 years. For several broadcasts now, we'll be teaching about the biblical art of child rearing. It's our prayer that you'll join us for each of those studies. May God bless you and have a good day.
You've been listening to the broadcast of the First Baptist Church of Wayland, Missouri, with Pastor Dan Dietrich. If this program has been a blessing to you, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us through our website at www.fbcwayland.org or by giving us a call at 660-754-6312. Or by dropping us a line at P.O. Box 281, Wayland, Missouri, 63472. My friend, it's not yet 9 o'clock, and you still have time to get to church this morning. So why don't you decide right now that today you're going to make it to church? If you don't have a church home, let me invite you to visit us here this morning at First Baptist Church, located in Wayland, Missouri, on Highway B, just an eighth mile north of Highway 136. For directions to our church or to listen to more preaching, log on to our website, www.fbcwayland.org. www.fbcwayland.org. Once again, that's www.fbcwayland.org.